Well, the Federal Treasurer has said that he takes responsibility for the JobKeeper forecasting error unveiled last Friday. But it's also raised questions about how Treasury and the Australian Tax Office got it wrong. The government's been explaining today that spending $60 billion less on the wage subsidy than originally forecast is a consequence of Australia's handling of the pandemic since the original epidemiological models were prepared. Here's the Health Minister, Greg Hunt.
What we have avoided in Australia could have been catastrophic on a scale unimaginable and not something that was faced since 1919. Had we not done what we did, Australians would have suffered not just an outbreak of disease, but huge human suffering, economic suffering. And the steps that we took on the health front have meant that we've been able to reap an economic benefit.
Greg Hunt there. So why did we only learn on Friday that the cost of JobKeeper would be so much less and cover so many fewer Australians? Well, the government's been highlighting mistakes some businesses made in filling in the paperwork. But late last month, two economists at Melbourne University crunched the numbers as they understood them and could only find 3 million workers, not 6.6 million, who would get the wage subsidy. Roger Wilkins and Jeff Borland published their conclusions in The Conversation on the 29th of April. So today I asked Professor Wilkins what prompted them to run the ruler over the scheme.
Well, it was really just the startling number that Treasury had come up with for the forecast number of recipients of the JobKeeper payment. It was 6.6 million people, which translated to roughly 6 in 10 workers in the private sector. And it was a number that just seemed too big to be true. So it caused us to probe a little into where that number might have come from.
So what, in lay terms, what did you look at? How did you crunch the numbers and what did you arrive at?
Well, we looked at the industries that were being affected by the restrictions imposed on economic activity and looked at the number of people employed in those industries. And I mean, we also looked at forecasts that were coming out of the Reserve Bank and Treasury themselves about the anticipated employment effects of the restrictions in the absence of JobKeeper. And we really struggled to get much more than 3 million people that would be eligible for the payment based on our understanding of the program and what was happening in the economy at the time. It was very much back of the envelope stuff. We don't really have a lot of history to refer to when it comes to modelling these kinds of things.
Now, you reminded us in the article last month that forecasting is just hard, and this is a particularly hard moment, of course. But if you were able to do the calculation, surely Treasury and the ATO and maybe even the Treasurer's advisers could have done more before last Friday's announcement?
Yes. Well, I mean, at the time, I was mainly just mystified as to how they'd come up with such a big number. I assumed they would have better information than anyone else. And so I was just curious as to what the nature of that information was. What was perhaps a little difficult to understand was with the certainty was with which the number was presented, that it was a known fact. It would seem to be the way it was presented that the payment would go to 6.5 million workers. And I think it would have been more than acceptable in the circumstances to at least allude to the inherent uncertainty of forecasting an unprecedented event.
So now we know the Treasurer is saying JobKeeper will go to 3.5 million workers. You were a bit off, but not very much, costing $70 billion. Is the money going to sectors you would have expected? Have you been able to crunch that?
Well, it does look like, and this is very inexact analysis, but it does look like take-up is lower in the hospitality sector than we might have expected. So we're seeing considerable job losses in that sector. They wouldn't show up to such an extent if take-up of JobKeeper was higher in those industries. When you mentioned that we were closer in our estimate than Treasury, we could have been closer for the wrong reason. One of the reasons for perhaps the lower number than expected is that take-up hasn't been as high as expected, that employers who are eligible simply didn't claim it. And there does seem to be some indications of that when we look at the data on job losses by industry.
Do you think this very big forecasting error on the back of, you know, being faced with $130 billion in debt in the first place, did that error have implications for who was allowed to apply for JobKeeper?
Yes, I think that's quite likely, that, and that's possibly the true cost of this forecast error, is that $130 billion is an awfully big number, and it might have caused the government to balk at widening the net for eligibility because it was assumed that already it was an astronomical cost. And so if the forecast had been more accurate, they may have been more willing to widen the net and include some workers who have been excluded under the scheme as it's operating.
And do you think the government should now extend the scheme and go for broke, spend the $130 billion as originally planned?
The need for government assistance and stimulus won't end in September or October of this year. There are certainly going to be more calls on the government budget going forward. I certainly was a bit perplexed by the decision, particularly to exclude temporary migrants, because the economic rationale given for the program was that it was providing income support, but also maintaining connections between workers and firms. And that rationale would equally apply to temporary visa holders as it would to other workers.
Roger Wilkins, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Professor Roger Wilkins, who's Deputy Head of the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research at the University of Melbourne.